Welcome back to The First Corner. On today's episode, we rank the Formula One drivers, from position 21 all the way to P3. Nikita Mazepin. Some of his extreme defensive driving from his F2 days creeped in, and did him no favours. Not being able to qualify Mick hit him hard psychologically, and his emotional reaction post-Brazil qualifying was the death of an ego he had built himself on. It was followed by a brave pass while capitalising on a mistake from his teammate on race day, one of the few highlights in an error-prone season. Character building, but needs to have a solid second season in a hopefully better Haas to gain respect of the paddock, fans and media alike. Shaking off the wooden spoon driver reputation is a difficult ordeal. Keep it together, Nikita. Number 20. Nicholas Latifi. Should have done better in his second season with a much improved car. At times Nicholas went with it, a little closer to Russell in qualifying and the races. A solid if unspectacular driver, again backed by a wealthy father, it seems that the recent change in ownership has removed some of the clout the Latifi family once had within the team. American Logan Sargeant will be given Friday runs in 2022, and Nicholas needs to remain on his toes to keep the drive. Number 19, Robert Kubica. Little to say about Robert as he stood in for Kimi Raikkonen for two races, did the best he could do in a car he was unfamiliar with. Number 18, Yuki Tsunoda. It's telling that the jump from F2 to F1 is difficult, and it was harder for the drivers in a season with only 3 days of pre-season testing. Looking at Tsunoda's race performances in Bahrain and Abu Dhabi, you would think he looked like a star of the future. However, in between the bookends of the season, was plastered with rookie errors and a thrashing from Red Bull also ran Pierre Gasly in qualifying. His race pace was generally on par with Gasly, and he is a good wheel-to-wheel racer. The 2021 AlphaTauri was a peaky car, at times best of the rest in qualifying, and often sliding backwards during the race. When it was performing, Tsunoda was still a long way off Gasly. Possibly a driver who will benefit from the move to 18-inch wheels, where his one lap pace in Formula 2 was so strong. Number 17, Kimi Raikkonen. Kimi's long career is a reflection of the quality of driver he is and can still be when he makes the effort. Some say a wasted natural talent, but ultimately has a world championship to show for it and will be remembered fondly by all. An anomalous season for Raikkonen, but picked himself up when the updated Ferrari power unit made the Alfa a car capable of point scoring on rocky days. Farewell Kimi and thanks for the memories. Number 16, Lance Stroll. Lance is an inspiration for Mazepin. If a team and father can give him the full backing regardless of his errors in his rookie years, confidence and solid performances are often returned by the driver. Not many Stroll conditions races cropped up this season, where he excels in almost ice-like conditions, so he remained fairly anonymous. He was hoping to capitalise on a downward spiral for teammate Vettel in the early part of the season, but Sebastian's quality shone through and was more than often than not the stronger driver. A couple of strong races in Austria and Qatar were Lance Stroll's highlights. Number 15, Antonio Giovinazzi. It's surprising that Antonio's career has lasted so long without losing his drive. Sadly, as he was coming of age, Alfa dropped him despite him being regularly faster than Kimi Raikkonen this season. It was too little too late, and with Bottas on the market and the money coming in from Guan Yu Zhou, was too tempting for Alfa Romeo to retain him for another year. Only seemed to really get going when his drive was on the line. You need to be on it every day in F1. Number 14, Valtteri Bottas. Bottas had the air of a driver that lost all confidence in himself after his lackluster performance at Imola, which seen him get crashed into by Mercedes incumbent George Russell. And Mercedes simply should not be fighting with a Williams in the wet, and about to be lapped by his own teammate. He is a driver who needs the wind in his sails, and with the Max Verstappen fight between Mercedes and Hamilton, he was often the sacrificial lamb. Despite his Finnish temperament, he does get swept up by the media narratives when either for or against him. His racecraft can be frustrating to watch. Whilst a fair racer, leaving the door wide open for Verstappen in Russia, and a couple of constipated drives in the midfield at Imola, Russia and Abu Dhabi. His only acclaim is that he can occasionally out-qualify Hamilton and be in an awkward spot for Red Bull when the Mercedes was singing. He righted the wrong of his 2020 Istanbul performance, with a strong performance in the wet leading from the front. Number 13, Sebastian Vettel. Gets the tag of most improved driver for 2021. Despite a tricky few opening races, Seb was reinvigorated in 2021. He knuckled down and his behind-the-scenes efforts, quality, bared fruits in the uncompetitive Aston. His two podiums were in fortunate circumstances, but generally kept Lance Stroll at bay throughout. After the Bahrain Grand Prix, I predicted a Damon Hill 99 season for him. Holding my hands up, I was wrong, and his star qualities are a huge benefit to Aston. He's already building the team around him. Monaco was the turning point for him, and he bounced upwards from that Mercedes-beating result. His season was not without some ghosts of 2020, namely the spin in Silverstone, but Lance Stroll will have to get the finger out to beat him next year. Number 12, Daniel Ricciardo. The shock of the season. Despite Norris predicting the car would suit Daniel's style, a fundamental issue began to rear its head in Daniel's braking and turning in the low-speed corners. He couldn't rotate the car under braking in the way Norris could. Not too much of an issue on long sweeping corner circuits like Barcelona, but on tracks like Monaco and Austria, the lap time is made in those corners. Whilst Norris was completely at one with the McLaren, Daniel looked to be in a different car in qualifying. He gradually improved in the second half and took the reins with a brilliant win in Monza. A small area of his driving may be the key to categorising Daniel as either a very good driver or a great one. 2022 will tell the full picture. The greats adapt to any given machine. Number 11, Pierre Gasly. Gasly built on a strong 2020 with another strong 2021, shading Tsunoda easily in qualifying and scored the lion's share of points. So why is he not higher? You simply have to question what Max Verstappen could do in the AlphaTauri. The car did swing a lot in performance, but a truly great driver, like for example Fernando Alonso, has the ability to adapt and drive around these issues. Watching Pierre slip back in Qatar was a prime reminder. While some of that was down to the front tyre wear issues in the AlphaTauri, Pierre didn't adapt. Pierre's ability in qualifying mirrors that of Yarno Trulli, a fantastic plug-and-play driver, but is always at a loss to explain or understand or willing to improve on his or the car's weaknesses. Tsunoda, as a rookie, is ill-equipped to deal with such issues, and Pierre has a wealth of experience by now, should have played a stronger team leader role. In Verstappen's hands, the AlphaTauri would have been in the best of the rest battle more often. Number 10, Mick Schumacher. Despite having the worst car and a weak teammate, Mick was quietly impressive. A couple of rookie errors, but seems to have a good grounding in hard work and is widely liked by the team. Inspired to pay tribute to his father and with a mentor in Sebastian Vettel. There is a general feeling in the paddock that everyone wants to see Mick do well, and he carries those wishes with him in his good performances. Qualifying the Haas into Q2 in Istanbul was the standout highlight, along with going toe-to-toe with Verstappen in Budapest in a wounded Red Bull. He was hoping to get the Alfa Romeo drive, but was ultimately snubbed. Haas sacrificed 2021 for 2022, and a closer relationship with Ferrari next year will likely pay dividends. Number 9, Sergio Perez. Sergio was thrown a lifeline by Red Bull when his F1 career looked to be in freefall. He was always going to be number 2 to Max. Throughout the season, he publicly didn't beat himself up about it and waited for his time to come at Circus where he shines. Could have beaten Max on merit if it not for the bodge pit stop in Baku. The rear tyre limited tracks have always played to Sergio's strengths. When the Red Bull's balance is not on edge, he can get very close to Verstappen over one lap. He did suffer a mid-season slump, partly from experimenting with Max's approach in both driving and setup, which just made him slower and error-prone in the way his predecessors were. Too many times he let a pressing Norris slip by, which put him out of the Mercedes vs Red Bull strategy equation. After accepting he couldn't mimic Max, he went back to his way of driving and felt more at home. In his support role, he offset that with some great wheel-to-wheel racing in Istanbul and made life difficult for Hamilton in the way Bottas didn't with Max. Number 8, Esteban Ocon. Much like Vettel, Ocon had a rocky start to the season in Bahrain. He then proceeded to capitalise on Alonso's rustiness by convincingly being the faster driver in the season's first half, prompting Alpine to snap him up into a long-term contract. The win in Hungary was fortunate, but sustained race-long pressure from Vettel and thoroughly delivered. Equalising Alonso in qualifying is no mean feat. The general vibe coming from all parties was that Esteban stepped up his game in 2021. Still lacking the race pace and adaptability that Alonso has, and not without his tricky moments, and has a sizeable task to beat Alonso in 2022. Number 7, Carlos Sainz. Carlos seems to be the driver who takes his time to get into the thick of the season before his greatest stuff shows. A lot remember his strong end to the years rather than the start. The fact that he can adapt in an odd McLaren and take on Lando Norris, and then adapt to a Ferrari and take on Charles Leclerc, just shows how much depth and adaptability there is to Carlos. However, Leclerc is marginally the faster of the two and can transcend the car beyond its level of performance. Signs can get very close and can mimic what's needed from the car to get there, which very little drivers in F1 can do. He just doesn't have the blowing away wheel-to-wheel combat factor of the greats, but has proven ability and has what it takes to be a future world champion. Leclerc cannot afford mistakes when Sainz is around. Number 6. George Russell. George Russell's fate was sealed after outperforming Bottas at the 2020 Sakhir race within a few days' notice of the drive. He was not confirmed by Mercedes until after the 21 summer break, but the undercurrent since the start of the season was that it was when rather than if he would be promoted to Mercedes for 2022. In 2021, another season in the greatly improved Williams at least gave him the chance to stamp some of his own golden moments, hounding Bottas for points in the wet Imola until a high-risk passing attempt at Tamburello resulted in an enormous accident. Multiple Q2 appearances and accolades from drivers such as Fernando Alonso helped inflate his reputation. A transcendent Q3 appearance at Silverstone and the lap of the season, qualifying the Williams to the front row in a wet Spa. Post Monza, the Williams began to tail off in performance and never reached those heights in the last third of the season. In that too, Russell's motivation seemed to wane a little, and at rare times allowed Latifi to mix it with him in the races. He had done the job needed, and now has the chance to go up against one of the greatest of all time next year. Rubbing my hands to see how he will go against Lewis Hamilton in 2022. Number 5. Charles Leclerc. He may have been outscored by Sainz, but to classify him as the lesser driver at Ferrari is the low-resolution take. He outperformed Sainz in both qualifying 13.9 and race trim 14.8. The margins were fine, and Sainz was no doubt the more consistent driver. But Leclerc was the faster one. A handful of errors in Austria with Gasly and his crash in Monaco were his only real errors of the season. Pole in Monaco and Baku were highlights, and finishing a clear fourth 6 times over the rest of the field were every bit as good as any performance he's ever done, where Sainz's podiums often came from capitalising on the misfortune of others. In a title-winning car, he can't afford to let Sainz slip through his fingers. Number 4. Fernando Alonso. A few hiccups along the way, but an overall successful comeback season for Fernando. After a shaky start to the year, which could be put down to rustiness and even the injuries from his broken jaw sustained in an off-season cycling accident. In qualifying, Esteban Ocon has been the first driver to put him under serious pressure since Lewis Hamilton. By the season's third race in Portimao, however, Alonso was beginning to crack the code, with the Alpine's traits in the last stint of the Grand Prix, talking about a need for feeling the front end of the car through the steering wheel to be able to exploit its limits of grip. There were plenty of outstanding Golden Wheel Alonso moments that showed he is still one of the greatest drivers to ever sit in a Grand Prix car. Think the restart at the end of Baku, the Silverstone sprint opening lap, fending off Hamilton for 11 laps in one of the greatest wheel-to-wheel fights the sport has ever seen, the Qatar weekend in qualifying and the outrageous pass on Gasly on lap 1. Alonso's magic and cunning is still there and hopefully remains over his later years with a more competitive Alpine in 2022. El Plan is a fitting motto for Fernando Alonso. Number 3. Lando Norris. Fastest of all through the eye of the needle high-speed Gilles Villeneuve chicane at Imola, watching two purple sectors in the dying moments of Imola qualifying and holding off Hamilton at Austria using every ounce of his raw ability prompted Hamilton to proclaim on the radio, "Such a great driver, Lando." His first lap performances in Portimao and Austria were spectacular. Relentlessly hanging Perez out to dry were statements of a mild but not meek future world champion who takes absolutely no prisoners. Some do question his mental toughness, but if there were any mental struggles this season, it did not reflect in his in-car performances and comfortably eclipsed incumbent Daniel Ricciardo. An unfortunate call to stay out in Russia on a wet track, which would have sealed his first Grand Prix win on merit. Out of the car, he gives the impression he does not take it seriously, but is fully in tune with what's happening at all times. Like Max Verstappen and Leclerc, one of the few of the drivers who were completely in tune with their car throughout the races across the season. A slight dip in some races where he could and should have beaten Ricciardo, and a high-speed plunge on waterlogged Eau Rouge into the barriers when he was on for a certain pole position were the only blots on Lando Norris's copybook. That's all for now, and thank you for listening. Be sure to join us for our next episode, which goes into a deep dive of the top two drivers of the season.